You've got, should teachers be armed? This is a big one right now, too. Should colleges separate graduations based on demographic? Are tax professionals worth it? Is internet a public utility?
You know, when you're in this business of content and information and truth, you know, there's not really 100%, unless we're saying, like, you know, two planes, you know, collided, you know, that's factually, there was two or there was three. But when it comes to like beliefs or ideas, you know, it's very difficult to be 100%.
Tech founder Amir Sikh joins the podcast today to give an inside look into what Ponderly is all about and how they're trying to increase civil engagement on some of the most talked about issues throughout the media landscape today. So let's do it.
Too many days in the darkness, without a glimpse of the light. Running tired and broken and scared, but I swear I'll never give up the fight. I see you broken and beat, head pulled down over your eyes. Every part of you wants to surrender, darling, you were meant to survive.
I like the alternative side to that, because I know on your website, just reading this off, you can get the facts, consider the other side, and decide for yourself what you think. And I like that. And from viewing your stuff, you really do stay true to that, too, because there's an article that's posted to kind of summarize, if no one's been on the app before or on the website, basically an article's posted, and then there's two different sides that are kind of projecting what they think it is. And there's also an objective facts that goes down the row to kind of let the insider know, like, kind of the historical context behind something, and then allowing the reader to read somebody that's for something and then someone that's against that topic, right? Kind of, I guess, what people think, even though it's not, people think Twitter is, even though Twitter is absolutely not that, where people, I feel like, even Elon Musk said Twitter is basically like the public square of like politics and political issues, which, you know, to a degree, people do go to that platform to express their opinions, but Twitter is in no way, shape, or form. I feel like it's like the opposite of like a truly factually based platform discussing politics, because people are going there already with a absolutely passionate opinion, to put it lightly. And where people, I feel like Twitter, looking to absolutely take that opinion and jam it down everyone's throat as much as possible and as violently as possible. And Ponderly's guy, I feel like, is like, from looking at this, is the opposite, where it's really like the opposite. You're the trying to be the public square of like, okay, this is the issue. Now we're going to branch off and give some facts, give some sides. And now you give your thoughts after you've read everything.
So, you know, as long as you're not, you know, saying anything.
Yeah, fuck yeah, you can. No, and I do like a lot of like the articles that you guys are posting here are very relatable to today's society. I think a lot of them actually put the words to what people are thinking to these. Because I'm going to read off just a few of these that were posted in like the last month, where this is an article, you can click on it, you can read basically the facts about it, and then the two different sides, and then make your comment. And I mean, these are things that I don't think are going to go away anytime soon. Really big issues, though, facing society, which is, I mean, you've got, should teachers be armed? This is a big one right now, too. Should colleges separate graduations based on demographic? That's a big one. In the, you know, obviously, also, I think only affecting the United States, not other countries, too, with the difference in demographic, because we are so diverse. And there's a lot of different, I mean, like, even it doesn't even have to be politically based. Like, a lot of times people think that these articles that are engaging are politically based. I mean, like, there's an entertainment section. Are music festivals worth it? You know, an expensive experience, but a very good experience. You just got to travel to them, so people can kind of give their insights into, you know, what they think about that. Are tax professionals worth it? Is internet a public utility? Like, right there, that's a huge one that I don't think anyone is really considering right now. Is internet a public utility? I didn't even think about that until I saw this on your website, which it kind of really is. It's almost kind of like in that same factor as like water, electric, because you can't really function or get ahead in society or even really survive in America right now without internet. So it's a good way of intriguing people into today's, I would say, I don't want to say issues. I want to say just general topics, because that's something that I don't think people really would consider. And then, of course, you know, you got lifestyle issues. You've got, or not issues, lifestyle topics, controversial topics, politics. You got news, entertainment, religion out there. So it really does give a good overall general perspective of topics to engage with. And I'm kind of curious, like, what is the general demographic of people that of your users? Yeah. Yeah, and I to go back on what you had said before too, because I know as soon as people had heard, probably, you know, you do fact checks and find your facts there. Where what kind of sources are you guys using? Do you actually cite your sources in the articles there to kind of show where you got them in case maybe something comes up and like it's either incorrect or whatnot? Do you cite them? And where do you obtain not only the facts, but also like your writers on like who you're choosing to pick? Like, yes, I agree with this, or no, I disagree with this. Yeah, no, there's definitely some room for error, if, you know, the 3% room for error there, which is always understandable. That is actually to the T what CNN used to be back in, I want to say, around like 2013, 2014, 2015. I remember being an avid news junkie. Like, I lived and breathed it. And, you know, watching every news show. And, like, it was like Fox News, you kind of always knew, like, what they were going to say. MSNBC, you always knew what they were going to say. And then CNN, there was always the host. And then they would bring on two distinctively different guests, you know, and it was almost like in the green room, they basically told the guests, okay, you're going to, you know, defend this argument. And then the other guest's going to defend the other argument. And the host of whatever daytime show or nighttime show was, you always obviously sided with like kind of the side that they felt opinionated on, you know, that was kind of like a given. But at the end of the day, you at least knew that there were two distinct sides and the facts of each side, regardless of where the host leaned and tried to sell it, you know. But then, you know, as the years got on, I mean, it was just, you know, channels really started to bring on different guests even less and less and less. And then the guests that they did bring on, they would, you know, give kind of a lesser time frame to last on the channel before absolutely berating them, you know. And now I think, I mean, I don't really even think most people watch a lot of the daytime and nightly news, because it's not really, I wouldn't even classify it like as news anymore, you know, news thinking, considering like a new event or something that recently happened. Because right now, I mean, it's just the news is such in the toilet, and I don't know if we can actually get it out and bring it back to where it used to be. And obviously things have changed too. People aren't watching TV anymore. We're more on our phones. So our phone is kind of like completely replaced the TV too. So I kind of in leading up to asking you, really, like, where did this idea for like the app and the startup kind of come from? Yeah, the famous saying, we listen to reply, not, you know, listen to actually understand. Yeah. 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 Yeah, because I feel like the major platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram too, like they try to tailor up a nice book cover of being something like this, where it's like, yeah, we have facts, and like if people post misinformation or fake news, you know, we crack down on them. But then, like, I mean, it's very biased, where they just end up choosing, you know, who and what they want to crack down on and such. Because I end up looking, especially, I think on Facebook might be the worst right now, because there's times that I'll like be scrolling through and I see something that's just absolutely false. And there's no like coded message from Facebook saying like this didn't happen, and like there it's not parody either. So there's no notes on that. It's really just a page that's creating a, like, typically like a fake quote I've seen kind of trending of somebody who it's not outside of their realm to say. So people do believe it, but at the same time, it is 1000% false. I'm not sure if you know the guy, Caleb Williams for the Chicago Bears. A lot of the initial things before the draft, he did say a lot of arrogant things of, you know, trying to have ownership in the team and things like that. So really wasn't a good representation of being like a kind of like a team guy. He really was promoting himself as like this arrogant, I'm going to take over and win. Hopefully he does. But a lot of pages throughout Facebook, you know, when he was trending, were trying to get clicks because by using his name. So they would make up quotes of him saying something very arrogant, which he never said. But if you do read them, you believe it because it's kind of like, it's not outside of his realm to not say, you know, to hype himself up, but like it just was never said. And I've seen that with a lot of athletes and a lot of politicians that pages just create these quotes out of fake air, and people just because of their reputation just instantly believe it. And then I go through and I mean hundreds, if not thousands, of comments of people kind of going like commenting that that is based off of that being the truth. And I just know that it's not. And I end up typing in the quote and it's not correct. You know, there's no other sources that are citing this, which they absolutely would be if this person actually did say this. And it's kind of a, you know, it's a little bit scary out there because I think we're running into a really, really big issue of authenticity. The authenticity behind things is, I think, an issue that's going to almost of like our lifetime, you know, of you logging into something and assuming it's fact when either it's completely misconstrued, it could be completely false, or it's kind of like painted as fact, but using the person's reputation to kind of help push it as a fact when it's just not. And then assuming and relying on you not putting in the time to double check it because you're not going to double check every single post. I mean, how many posts do you scroll through per day? You're not going to like type in and just, you know, no one has the time for that. So your fact box here and whatnot, I'm really big fan of too, because it seems like you guys are putting in your due diligence to behind the articles. And a question for you actually too is how do you guys come up with the topics and the articles to post? It definitely is. And I'm glad you said that because there's such like this push for AI and like you're falling behind if you're not using AI. And like there's software to use that I agree, but like it is just software. Like the push of like using AI to replace humans. Like I use AI on editing podcasts all the time that just doesn't replace human beings. And like the I love you guys on the articles that you have. You actually do have like a human being with their first and last name that is right, like the response to whether they agree or disagree and the reasons why is actually a picture of them, their first and last name, their location, their generation they come from, and their gender. Because it's basically like, okay, if you want to post this and put your opinion there, you are standing behind it full throttle. Yeah, all it is just, you know, you're using, instead of using a shovel for things, you're using a bulldozer. You know, I mean, there was a software that my sister-in-law had sent me. She saw it trending. She was like, this might, you know, let me know if this helps with your podcast. And I looked it up and it saved me literally hours, because instead of manually going through and cutting like the camera angles, like you would digging a hole with a shovel, you know what I'm saying? Like, I literally just highlight the whole thing and hit like and hit one button, and it actually, when the audio file peaks, that's when the video changes, which is basically me talking right now. The camera would be on me. If you start to butt in, the camera automatically goes on you because your audio file peaked from a certain level. And that's just me going from using a shovel to a bulldozer. So it's not, you know, there's a lot of these things out there that, like, even I love me some Gary Vee, but I mean, he was even going off on some things saying, like, you know, we're gonna, you know, there's gonna be internet influencers are going to start having to use AI influencers who are going to have their own Instagram and have to communicate to other AI influencers. And I was like, dude, it's like, give it a rest, brother. I mean, my gosh. It's engaging. Yeah, it will be. But this is, you know, I do enjoy the content that you guys are bringing up, because it's basically the, because it's not done through AI, which is awesome, which is, I can kind of tell, because it's, the issues you guys talk about are very much in people's head, whether they know it or not, that they're thinking about. And then when the article kind of is posted, it's like, oh, wait, I was actually really just thinking about that. Like, I mean, your business section right now, buy or rent housing, which is better, you know? And it is nice to have somebody that is for renting and for buying, because your situation right now might be better for renting, or it might be better for buying. So when you read this, you're actually able to go through it and be like, oh, actually, like, I always thought buying might be better for me, but right now, you know, from reading William J's side of this, you know, renting might be better, or Mark Z, who is, you know, the buying perspective on this, that might be better for me right now, which is, you know, I mean, we're talking about probably, if you're on Microsoft Word, the amount that these authors are writing and these contributors is probably about a full Microsoft Word document page, I would think, which really gives a lot of good insight. And we're talking, this is reviewed by an editor, so it's obviously broken down and really just taking like the best, most functional parts. So you're getting an entire page of really some good stuff. I'm about to come out them in a second. But I'll let you finish. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, it is. And that's, I think, obviously, like you said, you're gearing towards, the Gen Zers and millennials, which are, I mean, I thought we were bad like as millennials, where it was like a quick trigger on things. But oh my gosh, now it's like, I mean, you got like maybe 2 seconds to grab somebody in something and they're on to the next thing. I mean, it is wild how efficient you have to be when you're creating content or writing articles. I mean, and I see this all the time in some of the things that I make too, which I think are really like there'll be stories that I try to put out too. And I'm like 30, 40 seconds in before like I'm like really making the point. And then I'm just like, ah, that's, you know, I mean, people are so far gone after 3, 4, 5 seconds onto the next thing. And I mean, it's kind of sad, but at the same time, I mean, I get it because they're just so overwhelmed with information, I guess, right? Yeah. No, you can't. You can't. And if you consider Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I mean, I also got to give you guys props too, because it's one of the only platforms that I know of who right now is not like, I mean, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram too. It's hard to scroll through anything and not seeing like some type of like soft porn being pushed down your throat through people trying to leverage that type of content. And I'm even talking about like the, like big businesses doing it, Instagram influencers obviously doing it, different media companies doing it, real estate agents doing it, like all across the board trying to push it and like trying to hook you with that and then trying to sell you a message of functionality that relates to business, real estate, finance, entertainment. And it's so misconstrued because they're trying to tie different subjects together when the very first hook you get somebody to click your article, unless you're staying on that subject, I mean, you're doing a bait and switch on people. I mean, you really are, which I think is like a potential really downside to big platforms and social media that people have to be really, really careful for on, because I don't think it's sustainable when you do bait and switches and you hook somebody on something where like to get them to click. And then 6 to 7 seconds into that video or that article, you start to try to sell them on something else. It's a really, really, really bad tactic that I see across the board. And Instagram's really bad with it. I mean, maybe the worst offender. Yeah. 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 It is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen are you familiar with Barstool Sports? So I mean, they're basically like a platform that's for like the I would say like fratty sports guy, you know, drinking beer, want to watch the game, bullshit, you know what I'm saying? And talk about chicks and stuff. And I really liked the content they originally were posting, but there was almost a year straight where every single post that they made was about like, was like bringing OnlyFans models onto their podcasts and their platforms. And I was just like, Dude, we're so far off from talking about sports and things. But the thing is, like, thinking about their demographic, it's probably 99% like male from like 18 to like 35 years old. So like by bringing on these people from an analytics standpoint, from their reports that they're reviewing, oh my God, the clicks are probably massive because the guys are, you know, into it. And so, and then I'm reading comment after comment going, another day of a Barstool Sports not being about sports. I'm seeing comment after comment. Then I'm saying to myself, stop clicking, stop commenting on it. And then they'll actually pull back from it because they're trying to cater to what they think you're watching. And there's a big, you know, consumers don't really understand the consequences of their own actions. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, consumers, I think, always have to kind of take a look at themselves as being a driving factor of some of that. I mean, we really, really do. Because if you stop clicking, you know, maybe, but you know, maybe things would change. But at the same time, like, we all got to stop clicking on some things that you know, are kind of clickbaitish without an actual functionality behind it too. One thing that I you know, I'm reading one of the fact boxes for one of the articles right now, which is, I think, probably the only platform that really does this, because Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I don't even want to put Snapchat in there because I don't even know what Snapchat is right now. I feel like it's just been tabloids for like the last 4 or 5 years. Like the tabloids that you would go to, like when you're checking out at Walmart or like,
every star.